and I invite everyone to open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, and let's read verses 15 and 16. Here we can see words spoken by Jesus himself to his disciples, but these words Jesus speaks today to all of us. And the word of God says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Amen. You may be seated. Choir, you too. What a wonderful song. May God bless our choir. Amen. And may God bless this word this morning in our hearts. I would also like to welcome all of you this morning, brothers, sisters, all our friends, guests, and of course the candidates of the baptism. It is such a joy to see the house of the Lord filled with happy faces. It's a day of joy, a day of celebration, and today we celebrate new life in Christ as we witness these six precious souls publicly declare their faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here we have Ben, Jay, Atticus, again Ben, Audrina, and Asher. God bless you this morning. We are really proud for you. And we pray that this day will be the beginning of a lifetime of walking closely with Jesus Christ. And we are really happy for you this morning. We rejoice with you. You know, the scripture says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And the scripture says also something else, that not only the church, not only our families and all of our friends rejoices with you this morning, no, the heaven rejoices together with us for you. Praise God, and may God bless you this morning. I would like to share a few thoughts from the scripture with you this morning. I want us this morning to look and to once again to understand how important this act of baptism is. First of all, I want to share and I want to see who can receive baptism. Then I want to look a little bit what condition does God and the Bible require for someone to be baptized. And then, of course, let's also see what we have to do after the baptism, right? Because like I said, this is not the end of your way. This is just the beginning of a lifetime walking closely with Jesus Christ. The title of my message this morning is A Public Declaration of Faith. A Public Declaration of Faith. You know, if we look carefully in the scriptures, we can see that we do a lot of things here in church that were not commanded by God. For example, God did not command us to build beautiful cathedrals, churches with luxurious interiors, comfortable chairs and seats. He did not command us to have instruments, to have modern technology. He did not command us to have a kitchen or a dining room. Now, don't understand me wrong. All these things are really good. We are happy that we have all of these things. God blessed us with these things. They are good, and I think they are necessary, especially in today's times. But what I want to point out here is that the Lord gave us only one direct command to his church. And that command was given right after his resurrection. And we already read it this morning in Mark chapter 16. And the command was to go into the world and share his word, share the gospel to all the people and to baptize all of those who believe. And then, of course, to teach them how to obey his word and how to follow the way of faith. So, as I said, this is a command. It's not something optional, whether you want it or not. This is the first thing that the Lord expects from us. And then, of course, if we have the resources, the power, we can do all the other things besides that, all the other things that are good and beautiful and also for the glory of God, because the Lord will rejoice in these as well. However, he expects from us to bring out the good news, the gospel to the people. And those people who will receive the word, they will believe in him, they will repent, and then we will baptize them and all according to the command given by the Lord Jesus to his church. And may God help all of us to do so. So the first point that I want to start with this morning is actually a question. Who can be baptized and what conditions must be fulfilled? The two verses that we read at the beginning, I told you already, were the words spoken by Jesus himself. And if you paid attention, he emphasized a word a little bit more. And this word is the greatest condition that he asks us for someone who wants to be baptized. And it's faith. The key condition for baptism is faith. The key condition for your baptism this morning is your faith. It's not Pastor David. It's not the assistant pastors. It's not the church board. It is the Lord himself. You know, at a special moment when he rose from the dead, he spoke to those who had yet not believed that he rose or that he was risen. And he made it so clear to them how essential the faith is for someone who wants to follow him. And I think from here, Apostle Paul has the verse where he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I think that most of us have seen already a lot of baptism, right? And participated at a lot of baptisms. A lot of us have seen maybe hundreds, if not thousands, of people dressed in white entering the water of the baptism. Now I want to ask you, do you remember, did you pay attention when the candidate, together with the pastors, entered the water of the baptism? Do you remember what questions the pastor asked the candidate? You know, I do not remember that a pastor asked a candidate while they were in the water, did you quit smoking? Did you stop drinking? Did you read the Bible from cover to cover? I do not remember questions like this. But what I do remember that the pastor addressed to the candidates are questions about their faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross for you? Do you believe that Jesus is a personal savior? Do you believe that he has forgiven all your sins? I can keep on going with this question, but all of this question, they have to do something with faith. And this is what Jesus does here in verse 16 of Mark 16 that we read. He highlights the value and the importance of faith for those who want to make a covenant with him and then to follow him a lifetime on the path of faith. So let's read one more verse about this faith. Romans 10, let's read 9 to 11. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And that's my prayer this morning, that God will fill all of our hearts with this living and holy faith. But this morning, I pray especially for these candidates that God will fill your hearts with authentic faith, that God will fill your hearts with his word so your faith will be strong. And I pray this, that this faith will be visible in you and that you will be pleasing to God. So I believe that we all agree that The key condition for someone to be baptized is our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Secondly, faith is necessary for our living and walking with Jesus. So I want all of us to understand this morning that the faith that we're talking about here, we need it every single day. It's not something you pick up on Sunday morning while you're walking to church, driving to church. No, we have to live by faith every single day, day by day. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by faith and not by sight." So faith is the foundation of our living and our walking with Jesus Christ. You can say that faith is maybe the connection or the bridge between us and God. Faith is the connection between us and the grace of God. Faith is the connection between us and the love of God, the power of God. Brothers and sisters, without faith, we do not have access to the grace of God. We do not have access to His mercy. We do not have access to His love. Without this faith, we do not have access to the power that He promised us that we will have. And without faith, we all know that it is impossible to please God. And then Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:17, "The righteous shall live by faith." So here we had two verses that describes the Christian life. First we have, we walk by faith, and then we will live by faith. And since we see that faith is so important in the life of a Christian, the Bible also tells us for how long or until when we have to remain faithful. Let's read Revelation 2 verse 10. It says, "Be faithful," listen to that, "be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." So you see, from the day on when you met Jesus Christ until the day you close your eyes, you have to remain faithful. So we need to live by faith every single day, brothers and sisters, until we die or until the Lord will return, either one of these two. We're running short on time, but please read at home Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, you will see a list of a people of faith. And this morning, brothers and sisters, I pray from the bottom of my heart that every single one of us, together with these six candidates, that we will be added to that list because of our faith and because of our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You know, while God rejoices with us because of our faith, you know that we have an enemy who does not rejoice with us. The devil, he is really upset. And the first thing that he attacks is our faith. He tries to strip us of the garment of faith and to put on us the garment of doubt, of despair, of unbelief, because he wants to take away this faith from us, because if this faith is taken away from us, we are very distant from God. And that is his plan. And because of that, I think Apostle Paul wrote to the young Timothy in his first letter, chapter 6, verse 12, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So, brothers and sisters, dear candidates, this morning God calls us once again to a living faith and to a strong faith. So let us not allow it to weaken. So let us fight for it every single day. Let us fight on our knees praying. Let us fight with the word of God in our hands. And let us fight for it so it's not weakening, so it can grow every single day. And with this faith, let's wait for the day until Jesus will return. Hebrews 10, 37 to 39. "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and he will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. The baptism song we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, right? And I pray this morning that God will help all of us to never turn back. Amen? And then my last thought that I want to mention is also from verse 16 out of Mark chapter 16. Jesus says here, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So thirdly, I want to mention that faith followed by baptism saves us. That means that only faith is not enough for our salvation. The Lord Jesus commanded baptism. Therefore, a person must believe, a person must be baptized in order to be saved. And it's also the other way around. Baptism without faith, it's not enough, does not save you. And here you have the reason why we do not baptize little kids or babies. Because little babies, they cannot be faithful. They cannot speak out for themselves. They cannot confess. And without faith, baptism has no value. And I believe that it's also the other way around. But let's see what Peter says about the importance of faith. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:21, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism is not a cleansing of our impurity and of our sins. I mean, even though, yes, we are stepping into the water, but this water does not wash away your sins. You know why? Because your sins are already washed away and they are removed by the holy blood of Jesus Christ. He has cleansed our conscience. Nothing reproaches us in our conscience. It is clean. And baptism testifies that I'm clean, I am a new creation, I am a child of God. However, baptism was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he went to John to be baptized. And he went to John to be baptized because he wanted to leave us an example. He wanted to leave us a model to live and to follow him. And after that, he commanded it. So the baptism accompanied by faith in the death and in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that's what gives us salvation. And I want to tell to all of our friends this morning, to refuse baptism in the water, which is commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ, this means to live in disobedience to the will of God. And you cannot live a life of faith and at the same time to live in disobedience. You know, when Jesus went through the Jordan to get baptized, John, he wanted to stop him because he knew that he is the Son of God. But you know what Jesus said, told him? Listen to Matthew 3:15. Jesus replied to him, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. So Jesus told John, let us fulfill the things that we have to do. And you know why he did that? Because later on he said, learn from me. If he would not have done this, he could not say, learn from me. And then later on, he gave this command to his disciples and to the church, go in all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So today we saw that the key condition and the number one what we need in order to be baptized is our faith. We saw that faith, it is faith that what sustains us in our walk with Jesus Christ. We saw that our faith, followed by the baptism, leads us to salvation. And because of this, brothers and sisters and dear candidates, our faith cannot stay hidden. Our faith, we have to live it out. We have to show it to the people, and it has to be seen by others. And like Brother Aaron said, the past week, I think we had a good example what it means to live for your faith, right? I think the entire world was just shocked by the news of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, right? You see, he was a man who openly declared his faith, who lived by his conviction, and who stood up for what he believed in front of thousands and thousands of people. And even though his life was cut short, his testimony speaks so loud today, and his testimony will speak for a long time to go from now on. So this week again, we got this reminder that faith can be very costly. But we also got the reminder that it is never in vain. Amen? So, dear candidates, this morning, as you are about to step into the water of baptism, just remember this is not a private act that you are doing outside. This is your public confession before heaven and the earth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. So from this day forward, I encourage you, live in such a way that your faith will be visible. Live in a way that your faith will be unshakable. Live in a way that your faith inspire other people at school, at work, everywhere around you. Even if it means that it costs you something, and sometimes even if it means that it costs you everything. I congratulate you this morning. May God bless you. May God give you the courage. May God keep you strong, and may He help you in your walk of faith every single day until the day that you will meet Him and will stand face to face with Him. May God bless you. May God bless all of you. Amen.